Ralph 弟兄来分享。
Today we ask Ralph, our brother Ralph, to come up and share.
Good morning.
早上好。
See if I can wake my granddaughter up. Are you getting tired of someone doing the same wrong thing again and again in your life?
你是否厌倦了如果有人对你做同样的错事一遍又一遍？
After a few times, do you think that there's no longer any need for you to forgive that person anymore?
在几次之后，你是否会考虑是不是值得原谅这个人呢？
This morning we're going to examine a portion of the scripture in which Jesus speaks to the issue of how limited our forgiveness should be.
那么今天早晨我们就要查考一段圣经，在圣经中讲耶稣告诉我们关于我们的原谅是应该有什么样的限制，有限度吗？
Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18.
我们打开圣经马太福音十八章。
Our scripture passage for this morning comes from a time when the disciples seem to be paying more attention to themselves than they are paying to what Jesus has to say.
那么今天早晨要查考的这段圣经，好像是在一个背景当中，使徒们都更注重他们自己，而没有注重耶稣的教导。
After all, their time, nearly 3 years with him, should be spent mostly learning from him.
毕竟在跟随耶稣三年之后，他们应该更注重从耶稣身上应该学什么。
For instance, at the beginning of chapter 18, they're all asking, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?
例如在第十八章刚开始的时候，使徒们问基督耶稣，在天国里谁是最大的？
It almost looks like they're maneuvering for position who will be the most important.
看起来就好像他们正在考虑一下在天国中的次序，他们的次序是什么。
In a little further on in chapter 18, in verse 15, Jesus speaks to the disciples about how to deal with a fellow believer who sins against you.
那么我们再往下看，在这一章第十五节的时候，基督耶稣开始教育如何去对待那些对我们做一些责罪我们的弟兄。
That seems to prompt Peter to ask a question on that topic.
这些事情都使彼得开始问他的问题。
And he gets a surprising answer.
结果他得到了一个非常令人惊奇的答案。
Come down to verse 21 where our passage for this morning begins.
那我们看一下第二十一节，就是我们今天要讲的圣经经节。
Peter talks to Jesus, maintaining this topic of forgiveness, and he says, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Perhaps up as many as 7 times?
那么彼得近前来继续问耶稣关于饶恕别人的事情。他问主啊，我的弟兄得罪我，我当饶恕他几次呢？7次可以吗？
He says, is 7 times enough?
他就问耶稣七次够了吗？
You and I might think that's quite enough.
你和我可能会想七次已经足够了。
If you do something wrong and ask me to forgive you, by the time we get to number 7, I'm getting a little tired of saying yes, I'll forgive you.
如果你在我身上做什么错事做了七次，那到第七次的时候你问我让我原谅你，那么我已经厌倦了。
But Peter probably thought he was being very, very generous.
当彼得这样问的时候，他可能认为自己这样做已经是很大方的了。
Because even the religious leaders of that day had set a limit of 3, not 7.
因为在那个时候，那些信仰的领导们也都在说3次就够了，而不是7次。
But Jesus' answer is rather startling.
但是耶稣的回答是非常惊奇的。
Not 7 times.
不是七次。
But 70 times 7.
而是七十个七次。
490 times we're supposed to forgive someone who sins against us.
那么490次我们要原谅一个人在我们身上做错事情490次。
It would be hard to keep an accurate count that high.
即使准确的计数这490次也是非常艰难的。
Now, if you're one of those persons who has a little notebook and you keep track of those sorts of things,
如果你是那种就是有一本小的记事本记录的所有的事情的话
Oh, maybe you even just make it 490 is the limit for all the times you'll forgive all people.
那么你可能490次可能是你原谅所有人的所有错事。
I don't think I want to be around you when you get up around 489.
那么当你记录到490次的时候我可能就不再想在你的周围了
Because I think there's about to be a big change in your personality
因为我想
And I don't want to be around when that bomb explodes
因为我想如果你在490次的时候你可能会你的行为会有很大的变化那么我不想在你的行为发生巨大变化的时候在你的旁边
But clearly Jesus is really telling Peter that the degree of forgiveness is beyond counting. It's unlimited.
那么很清楚在这里基督耶稣是告诉彼得我们对别人的原谅是不能够计数的是无限的。
How well do you and I compare to the unlimited standard for forgiveness?
那么跟基督耶稣的标准来比我和你做得怎么样呢
How's your forgiveness on the freeway?
那么你们在开高速的时候，你们的耐心，你们的原谅够吗？
Now, admittedly, that person who just got in front of you probably is not asking for forgiveness.
那么很有可能那些开车挤在你前面的，可能并不问你的原谅。
Neither are we very often in a spirit of forgiveness about that.
那么我们可能也在心里面没有原谅这个人。
How about the workplace?
那么在你们工作场所呢
How about family?
在家庭中呢
Well, we need to be forgiving people.
我们需要原谅别人。
And to illustrate and emphasize and expand his statement, Jesus tells people and those around him and those of us who read about it a parable.
那么去加深去表达或者是延伸这个观点基督耶稣跟彼得和他周围的人以及我们现在读这一段经文的人讲了这么一个寓言
A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning
那么一个比喻就是用一个我们在地上生活的故事来表达一个在天堂中的意思
The earthly story is something that could have happenedidn't have to actually happen, but it's something that realistically could have happened and would be easily understood by anyone who heard it.
那么这个世上的故事就是一个很有可能发生，也许没有发生，但是是有可能发生在我们身上，让我们很容易能够理解的。
The heavenly meaning is a spiritual application of that story which would only be understood by someone who had some spiritual insight.
那么在天堂中的意思呢是一个属灵的是一个你有属灵的经验可以理解的
Jesus says the kingdom of God is like the king in the following story or the following parable
基督耶稣讲天堂就像下面故事当中所讲的这个国王
This begins in verse 23.
那么我们看第二十三节。
And the story involves a king who has gathered some of his servants together to settle accounts.
这个故事是讲一个国王把他所有的仆人都叫来算账。
We don't know who these servants were particularly. All we know is that the king wanted to settle up the money side of things.
我们并不知道这些仆人是谁但是我们就知道这些国王 把仆人叫过来想解决这些 财政方面的事情
In verse 24 we read that he had one of those servants who owed him 10,000 talents
在第二十四节的时候，我们读到其中有一个仆人欠国王10,000 talent 的钱。
A talent was a unit of money, a very large unit of money.
一个 talent 是一个钱金钱的单位，是一个非常大的金钱单位。
It's the largest amount of money we run into in the scripture.
那么这个金钱单位是我们圣经当中最大的一个金钱的单位。
Let's try to estimate for our study this morning what that would be like in terms of today's dollars.
让我们估计一下这个单位，如果让我们今天的美元计算是多少钱呢？
10,000 gold talents.
那么一万个金的 talent 是多少？
Now we know that one talent is equal to 60 minas.
我们知道一个 talent 是等于60个 minas.
And one mina is really equivalent to 3 months' wages for a common laborer.
那么一个 mina 相当于一个人3个月的工资。
So if we use a conversion, well, we can remind ourselves then that a talent then is 180 months' wages.
那么这样的话，一个 talent 就相当于是180个月的工资。
At $7 an hour, which is about the minimum wage today, and figuring 8 hours a day, actually they probably work 12-hour days, and 6 days a week.
如果我们按最低工资一小时七块钱，然后一天工作8个小时，有些人可能会工作12个小时，然后按一个星期6天算的话。
That figures out to about $2.6 billion.
那么就相当于是26亿美元。
That's with a B, not with an M.
就是说它是26亿美元。
That's a lot of money.
就是很大一笔钱。
Now I know that our president and his helpers have been very hard at work convincing us that this amount of money is not really a lot.
我们知道在现在我们的总统和这些当政人在告诉我们这个钱不多。
But for an individual, this sounds like a lot of money to me.
但是对每个人来说这个钱的确是很大一笔钱。
Clearly, this is an amount that no one can repay.
很明显这笔钱没有人能够还得起。
Jesus is using 10,000 talents to represent a debt that absolutely no one can repay.
那么基督耶稣在这里是用10,000 talent 钱去表达一个没有人能够付得出的钱。
Well, he couldn't pay it. And in verse 25, the king imposes upon him what little he can do to get some of this money back. He sells all that he has.And he throws him, puts him in slavery.
那么在第二十五节的时候，这个国王就跟他说：“那你怎么办呢？你可以把你自己、把你所有的财产都变卖了，把你和你的妻子都卖了。”
So we read in verse 26 that the servant did the only thing that he could possibly do.
那么在第二十六节，我们看到这个仆人去做了他唯一能做的事情。
He begged the king for mercy.
他就恳求国王的怜悯。
He said, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay it all back.
他说，主啊，宽容我，我将来会还清楚。
Well, that's probably not a very realistic promise.
这可能不是一个非常现实的许诺。
But the king was sensitive to his plea, and he showed him great mercy.
但是这个国王却很同情他 and, 并且怜悯他。
We read in verse 27 that he forgave the whole debt.
那么我们在第二十七节的时候可以看到国王就免了他所有的债。
All $2.6 billion.
所有26亿美元的债。
What a generous king.
这是多么大方的一个国王。
What a fortunate servant.
这是多么幸运的一个仆人。
That should put him in a wonderful, thankful state of mind.
这应该让这个仆人感觉非常感恩的心。
But in the next 3 verses, we find that he goes out and he immediately finds another fellow servant who owes him some money.
那么在紧接着下面三节当中，我们看到这个仆人出去，立刻就碰到了他一个同伴的仆人，这个同伴仆人欠他一些钱。
In verse 28, we find out that this other person owes him 100 denarii.
那么在第二十八节的时候，我们看到这个同伴欠他十两银子。
Now one denarius is the payment for one day's work.
那么一个 denarii 是一个一天的工作，一天工资。
And by our earlier calculation, this would amount to $5,600.
根据我们刚才前面同样的计算，那么这笔钱就相当于是五千多美金。
That's not a small amount of money, but it's far, far smaller than the amount the servant has just been forgiven.
那么这五千六百美金不是一笔小的数字，但是却比他欠国王的要小得多得多。
Yet he grabbed this fellow servant by the throat and began choking him and demanded immediate payment.
但是他却抓住他同伴的衣领，要求他立即就还。
Well, the fellow servant, says something to him in verse 29.
那么在第二十九节的时候，他的同伴就向他说了一些事情。
He says, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you."
他说宽容我，将来我必还清。
Where have we heard these words before?
我们在哪儿听到这句话了吗？
The same words that the first servant used to the king.
同样一些语言，就是刚才第一个仆人恳求国王用的话。
Now this second fellow servant might have actually been able to pay this amount back.
那么事实上，这个同伴的仆人是有可能把这笔钱还清的。
But the first servant would not listen. He threw him into jail.
但是第一个仆人根本不听，就把他的同伴放到了监狱里。
Well, the king heard about this.
当国王听到这件事的时候
，Kings hear about everything.
国王是可以知道任何事情的。
And he called back the first servant and had some harsh words for him.
那么他就把第一个仆人叫回来，就跟他讲了非常严厉的话。
In verse 32, he says, "You are a wicked servant."
在第三十二节的时候，他说，你这个恶奴才。
I forgave you a huge debt because you asked me to.
你央求我，我就把你所欠的债都免了。
Shouldn't you have had compassion and pity on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?
你不应该怜悯你的同伴，就像我怜悯你一样吗？
You see, the king expected that his great mercy would cause mercy and forgiveness to come into the heart of the servant.
这里我们可以看到国王希望这个仆跟因为国王所做的怜悯和同情，会使这个仆人也同样可以做怜悯和同情的事。
But it didn't.
但是并不是这样。
Says in verse 34, the king, the master, was angry, and he delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him.
那么在第三十四节的时候，可以看到国王很生气，就把他交给了掌刑的，等到他还清了所有的债。
He was sent to the torturers.
就把他交给了掌刑的人。
Notice that the servant was not sent to the executioners to be killed, but he was sent to be punished.
我们可以注意到，这个仆人并没有把他被没有被放到执行官去被斩刑，而是放到了一个掌刑的去得到他的惩罚。
How much was he to be punished?
那么他要多大的惩罚呢？
Until he should pay all that was due to the king.
直到他把所欠国王的全部还清。
All that was due to the king.
他所欠国王所有的。
What was due to the king?
那么他欠国王什么呢？
When we see the word pay, then we sort of automatically think about the money.
当我们看到他说要所欠的，那我们自然就会想到欠的是钱。
We think about the 10,000 talents that were owed.
我们就会想到那一万 talent 他所欠的。
But that can't be what was due the king.
但是那不能是他所欠给国王的。
That debt was forgiven.
因为那笔债已经被免了。
The servant did not owe the king one penny.
现在这个仆人并不欠国王一分钱。
It was all forgiven.
因为他全部都被免了。
Then, what did he owe the king?
那么他欠国王什么呢？
What was due to the king?
他要还国王什么呢？
Well, what did the king expect of the servant after the king had shown mercy and compassion and had forgiven that huge unpayable debt?
那么当国王表达出同情和怜悯，把他那一笔大的钱都免了之后，国王期望什么呢？
The king expected the servant to show compassion and mercy to others.
国王期望的是这个仆人能够对别人表达同样的同情和怜悯。
The servant was to be punished until he developed a spirit of compassion and mercy.
那么这个仆人要直到受到惩罚，直到他有一天形成了一个有同情有怜悯的灵。
Until he learned to forgive.
直到他学会如何去原谅。
That's the earthly story.
那么这就是一个世上的故事。
That's the part anybody hearing the story can understand.
那么每一个听到这个故事的人都可以理解。
What is the spiritual application for Peter and disciples and for us?
那么对于彼得，对于使徒和对于我们来说，他的属灵的意思是什么呢？
In verse 34, Jesus makes it clear that the reason for this parable is to clearly illustrate what is expected of us in our pattern of forgiving others.
那么在第三十四节的时候，主基督耶稣很清楚地表达了他所希望的在我们身上能够看到的什么样子的怜悯和同情。
That's actually verse 34.
是从第三十五节。
In verse 35, we read, So my heavenly Father also will do to you, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses.
第三十五节，你们个人若不从心里饶恕你的弟兄，你天父也要这样待你们。
What is it that the Father will do?
那么天父会做什么呢？
Well, we have to look at the parable to see.
那么我们看一下预言中怎样讲。
First, an easy question.
第一是一个简单的问题。
We ask, who does the king represent?
那么这个国王代表谁呢？
Clearly, the king represents God.
很明显，国王代表的是神。
He's compassionate, he's merciful, he's forgiving.
神是有同情、有怜悯，而且原谅的。
Who does the servant represent?
这个仆人又代表谁呢？
Those who have been forgiven for a debt that they have no way of paying.
仆人是指那些他们没有办法还清的债啊，都被免了的人。
How big is your sin and mine?
那么你的或者是我的罪有多大呢？
How big is your debt to God because of that sin?
因为我们所做的罪，我们欠我们的神多少呢？
Can any of us pay enough?To have that sin erased.
我们中任何人可以还我们的神，以至于把我们的罪免了吗？
Isaiah 64:6 tells us that all of those righteous acts that we do don't mean anything when it comes to having our sin forgiven.
在以赛亚64:6告诉我们，我们所做的那些看起来比较好的事情都没有办法使我们的罪免。
Surely God does want you to do good things.
很明显，神是希望我们去做好的事情。
But if you try to use those good things as stair steps to heaven,
但是如果你想用那些好的事情成为进入天堂的台阶，
God says that before Him they are no better than filthy rags.
但是神告诉我们，在神面前，所有的人都不是清洁的。
Our sin constitutes a debt that we have no way to pay.
我们的罪就形成了一个债，我们欠我们神的债，我们还不清。
We can only beg for mercy from a forgiving Father.
我们只能向一个充满怜悯、充满原谅的神天父面前恳求。
So that massive forgiven debt in the parable represents our sin against our holy God.
所以在这个比喻当中，那一笔大的还不清、最后被免掉的债，就是我们所欠神的债，就是我们的罪。
Once that debt is forgiven, we never owe it again.
当这笔债被免了之后，我们就不再欠了。
We couldn't pay it if we did.
即使我们想还，我们也还不清。
That's the biggest example of forgiveness that we can possibly think of.
这就是一个最大的我们可以想象的被豁免的一个事例。
When God forgives our sins, we are like that servant who had a debt forgiven that was too big for him to ever pay.
当神豁免了我们罪的时候，我们就像那个仆人，被一笔自己根本还不清的债被豁免了。
If you and I have been forgiven so much, then we should be willing to forgive others for the relatively small things they have done to us.
如果你和我已经被豁免了一笔如此大的债，然后我们就应该同样的去免除别人欠我们的一点点的小债。
Now, some people who read this parable too quickly and too casually sometimes worry that the parable teaches that their salvation is in question if they do not forgive as Jesus requires.
那么有些人如果读这段圣经太快或者是太随意的话，可能就会怀疑我们的救恩，如果我们没有像基督耶稣，像那国王基督耶稣一样原谅别人的话，我们的救恩是不是也存在问题呢？
Not so.
并不是这样。
Just as the servant in the parable was not killed for his lack of a forgiving nature, we are not cast into the spiritual death of hell for our imperfect forgiving spirit.
就像预言当中那个仆人并没有因为他所做的事情被斩刑、被杀，而是得到他的惩罚。那么我们做了错事情，我们也并没有扔到我们属灵的死亡，说地狱当中。
So what will the Father do if we are not forgiving?
那么如果我们没有原谅的心的话，那么我们的天父会做什么呢？
He will deal with us.
他会教育我们。
Call it punishment if you will.
你也可以说是惩罚我们。
He will deal with us so that we will develop a spirit of forgiveness.
他会教育我们，教训我们，直到我们形成了一个原谅的心。
It has nothing to do with salvation.
这个是跟我们的救恩没有任何关系的。
It has everything to do with how we treat fellow believers.
这主要是讲我们如何对待我们的弟兄。
God expects each of us to have a good attitude about forgiving others.
神是希望我们每一个人都有一个很好的态度，都有一个原谅别人的心。
Let's close with a few biblical thoughts about forgiving.
那么我们讲一下圣经当中的关于原谅的一些经典。
Sort of by way of review, Ephesians 4:32 tells us that we should remember how God has forgiven us.
那么我们刚开始读以弗所书第四章第三十二节，讲神是如何原谅我们的。
We should be forgiving one another as God has forgiven us.
我们应该原谅彼此，就像神原谅我们。
Our attitude of forgiving should come from a thankfulness that God has forgiven us for the sins that we have done.
我们一颗原谅的心是应该从对一颗感恩的心，神原谅了我们所有的罪开始。
We should also be patient with other people.
我们也应该当别人做的时候宽容别人。
Because of Christ's great forgiveness on our part,
因为神在我们身上所做的原谅。
We should be bearing with one another and forgiving one another.
我们也应该包容彼此，原谅彼此。
That seems to have more to do with our attitude towards those around us than it does with our legalistic understanding of what we must do.
这个是更注重是我们对彼此的态度，而不是非常官方的讲我们彼此所应该做什么。
I have heard people say, and I have probably uttered it within myself at times, that I would be very happy to forgive somebody as he or she takes their last breath on earth.
我听到有些人讲，如果是说当别人在这是世上最后一段时间的时候，我可能会原谅别人。
Notice in verse 35 that Jesus says you must forgive from your heart.
我们可以从第三十五节可以看到，基督耶稣讲，你必须从你心里原谅别人。
There's to be a spirit of forgiveness that controls your life.
那必须有一个原谅、宽容别人的心来控制你的行为。
And that should cause us to be bearing with one another and patient with one another.
那么就会应该给我们彼此包容、彼此饶恕的心。
Now the scripture also addresses the fact that repentance and forgiveness go together.
那么圣经又告诉我们，悔改和原谅是在一起的。
We should certainly try to get that person who has offended us to repent or to change.
我们的确是应该努力让做错事的人，让得罪你的人意识到悔改并且改正。
We read if your brother sins against you, or sister sins against you, rebuke or correct him or her, and if he repents, forgive him.
在圣经中我们可以读到，若是你们的弟兄或者姐妹得罪了你，就应该劝诫他，他如果悔改就饶恕他。
A lot of people hide behind this verse.
那么很多人都用这一经节。
And I have a tendency to do that too.
有的时候我也会用这一个经节。
I think we all have a tendency to say, okay, nobody asks permission, asks to be forgiven, then I don't have to have an attitude of forgiveness.
有的时候我们会说既然没有人问我让我原谅他，那么我就不原谅他。
Well, don't forget that the idea of forgiveness has repentance attached to it.
那么不要忘记，原谅别人是跟悔改在一起的。
That our goal should always be that the other person will change.
我们的目标总是希望另外一个人能够悔改。
But let's not limit it there.
但是并不要限制在那里。
Does forgiveness really depend upon repentance?
那么是不是原谅的确要根据这个人是否悔改呢？
I think we cannot avoid the thought that God has told us we should be like him.
那么我们不可避免应该知道神告诉我们我们应该像神一样。
We should be holy because he is holy.
我们应该圣洁因为神是圣洁的。
We should be imitators of God.
我们应该是神的一个印象。
Certainly, Jesus forgave those when he was on the cross who did not ask for forgiveness.
我们可以看到，耶稣原谅那些把他钉在十字架上并没有恳求原谅的人，耶稣却豁免了他们。
God expects each of us to have a great capacity for forgiveness of others.
神是希望我们中的每一个人都有一个很大的原谅的心。
Why?
为什么呢？
Because he has forgiven us for so much.
因为他已经饶恕了我们这么多的事情。
This command of Jesus to Peter and the disciples and to us to forgive 70 times 7 is for those who are believers. Those who have had their sins forgiven.
那么这个耶稣给彼得给使徒以及给我们的命令要饶恕别人70个7次是给那些相信神的人以他们的罪已经被赦免的。
If your sins are not forgiven, you have no way to understand how much mercy God can do or has done in your life.
如果你的罪还没有被豁免的话，你可能感受不到神的怜悯，神在我们身上所表达出的怜悯是多么大。
Let me ask you, are your sins forgiven?
那么让我问一下，你们的罪豁免了吗？
Have you personally experienced God's great mercy and compassion?
你自己亲身是否经历了神伟大的怜悯和同情？
If not, you need to do that.
如果还没有，那么你需要做这些。
And you can only do it by believing in what Jesus did on the cross for you.
那同样，唯一的方法就是让你理解基督耶稣在十字架上为我们所做的。
The Son of God, God Himself, died so that you can have this forgiveness.
神的儿子他自己死在十字架上，我们的罪、你的罪才能够得以豁免。
The Bible tells us that this redemption, this forgiveness of sins, comes from what Jesus did on the cross for you and me.
圣经告诉我们，这个救赎、这个豁免，是因为神在十字架上为你、为我所做的。
You need to accept God's gift of forgiveness by believing in Jesus.
你需要相信基督耶稣而接受神。
In a few moments, we're going to sing a great hymn about how amazing God's grace is.
一会儿我们就会唱一个很好的诗歌，赞美诗，告诉神对的伟大。
How amazing the degree of forgiveness that He is making available to us.
他给了我们一个多么伟大的救赎和原谅。
For those of us who have experienced that grace, can we not show forgiveness and mercy and compassion to those around us?
对于那些已经接受了神所伟大的恩慈的人，我们能够对我们弟兄、我们周围的人不表达出来我们的同情、我们的原谅吗？
Three times.
三次。
Seven times.
七次。
490 times.
或者四百九十次。
Whereas God telling us our spirit of forgiveness should be unlimited.
或者说，神是告诉我们，我们一颗原谅的心、豁免的心是无限的。
Why?
为什么呢？
Because of the great forgiveness He has shown to us.
是因为神的伟大的豁免已经放在了我们身上。